Good evening. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee on May 20th, 2014. I'm the Chair Pro Tem, Bob Lederer, and our Secretary Pro Tem, Michael Novick. Would you please call the roll?
Sure. Teresa Allen, KPFT.
Hello. Hello. This is Teresa here.
Yes. Good. Okay. Thank you. Carolyn Burden, WBAI. Not here yet, Fred Blair. Okay. Not here yet, Jim Brown, WPFW.
Present.
Thank you. Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT.
Right here.
Mark Hernandez, KPFA. No. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA.
Here.
Kim Kaufman, KPFK. Yeah, Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Here.
Hank Lamb, KPFT. He was on a minute ago. Hank, are you muted? I don't hear him now. You can come back to it. Bob Lederer at WBAI.
Here.
Frank Lefevre, WBAI. Yes, this is Michael Novick at KPFK. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK. Yes, Serene Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Thank you. Richard Zell, KPFT.
Yeah, he had written us that he won't be able
okay.
to come.
Margie Wilkinson, KPFA.
I'm here.
Okay, and Jane Zara, WPFW. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, if Hank comes back. So we do have 10, which is a quorum. And Hank was only a minute ago.
Okay, thank you, Michael. And just for those listening, the current committee membership is 18, so that's how the quorum of 10 is arrived at. Okay, so
pardon me, who's been removed? Because I
nobody's been removed.
Well, on KPFTX, it says there's 20.
Right.
Go
ahead, Michael.
I think there are two names that got held over from the last year's committee. WPFW only has two, so Lona Elias would not be on.
Oh, okay.
And I think Jessica Polinar, they said, is on governance this year instead of elections from KPFT.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Those two are inaccuracies on the list on the KPFTX.
Okay, so now let's discuss our agenda. I sent out the same agenda I sent out for last month's meeting, which did not reach quorum. But for anyone who might not have seen it and for those listening on the stream, I will now read it and then we can discuss it. After the routine, you know, housekeeping, appointment of a timekeeper, agenda approval, then we'll go to 11. Who just joined?
This is Mark Hernandez.
Hi, Mark. Okay, and Mark's from KPFA. Okay, so we'll go to election of Chair Pro Tem and Secretary Pro Tem for 10 minutes, then scheduling of the election of the permanent chair and the permanent secretary for the next meeting, 5 minutes. Three is approval of January 13th committee meeting minutes for 5 minutes. Four is status of national election supervisor job posting and possible next steps. I'm suggesting 15 minutes for that. Five is next steps on cost-cutting measures and drafting an RFP for balloting and tabulation services, 30 minutes. Six, report back on PNB action on EC on election committee motions regarding membership list cleanup and other motions and possible next steps, 15 minutes. And then finally, the next committee meeting date, 5 minutes. With a time certain adjournment of 10:30 p.m. Eastern, which is what we've had pretty consistently for about 3 years now. So that's my proposal. The floor is open. But before we open the floor...
Janet Kay? Oh.
Yeah, hold on. Let me just ask who just joined the call while I was speaking.
That was Hank getting back on.
Okay.
Yeah, I had real difficulty logging in.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Anyone else new?
I had to come back on. I left the call for some reason.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. So now we can start the discussion. Any
Janet
Kay? Yes, Janet.
Okay. So I had mentioned earlier that I will have to leave the call in about 10 minutes. But what I would like to add to this agenda, and I don't know what it would be for today or for the future, is a timeline, a proposed timeline for an election, the LSB election. What would happen by when?
Okay.
This is Margie.
Sure, go ahead.
In fact, that was my idea coming onto the call as well. So I second Janet's proposal. I think we should discuss a timeline that does the best it can to keep us within the strictures of the bylaws, which is already a big challenge given where we are in the calendar year.
Okay, so let me ask the two of you, where on this agenda would you like to put that?
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Oh, let's see.
Should we maybe have it after the number four, the status of
yes.
National Election Supervisor job post?
That sounds good, yeah.
That sounds good.
Okay. Is there any objection to adding a 4A of election timeline? Oh, and we should set it.
So that's a point of information.
Yes.
Do any of these items have time?
Yes.
All of them do. Yeah, I announced all the time.
How much time are we talking about for the timeline, and what is the expectation? What time do we expect this meeting will end?
I'm proposing the usual mandatory adjournment at 10:30 Eastern.
But we can always end earlier.
Of course.
Yes.
So let me ask Janet and Margie, how many minutes do you want to allocate to this item?
So can I suggest something? I don't know whether it would be expected to complete this during this meeting, but at least start a process for coming up with something and then recording it or getting it, making it known somehow soon.
Okay, so maybe 10 minutes? Is that enough?
That sounds fine.
Okay. All right, so is there any objection to a 10-minute item on election timeline as 4A? Okay, hearing none, then that's added. Any other amendments to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, then, is there any objection to the adopting the agenda as amended?
Point of order.
Yes.
Question.
Who is it? Maria Elena?
And that is, did you send, because I opened up the email with my phone and not attached.
I'm sorry, your signal's breaking up. I can't hear you.
I did not find, did you have it? Within the body of the email, you said the same email you sent last time has the agenda. I can't find it in my email. I've been looking for it ever since.
I sent it at 8:02 Eastern tonight.
Okay, then it should be attached to the. Okay, notice. Okay, I'm still looking. Go ahead.
It's called draft agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, it's from Bob himself. It's not from the PNB.
Oh, that's where.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me see. What is? I'm looking for it right now. It might have been trapped by my spam sister. And that is Bob. What is your email?
Letterer Bob@USA.net.
Letterer Bob@USA.net. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. All right. So, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, it's adopted, and let's start. Would someone agree to be a timekeeper, please?
I will. What's our time?
Okay, just I'll part. Announce the times at the beginning of each item.
Oh, I see. Fine. Go ahead.
Okay. And remember the 10:30 Eastern end of the whole meeting. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so first item is election of a chair pro tem and a secretary pro tem. So,
Bob, this is Richard Uzel. I'm on the call. Thank you.
Hi, Richard. Okay. Thanks.
Can we use a ton of information? Sorry.
Yes.
I was trying to unmute. I know we have overall time for items, and it's important to be able to discuss things in committee, but do we have a maximum time for each speaker?
I believe that, and others who've been on before can correct me, I believe in general it's 2 minutes. Does anyone have a different recollection?
I was thinking 90 seconds, but...
Can you speak up, Michael? It's hard to hear you.
Yeah, I said somebody has a dog. I thought we had 90 seconds at one point, but either way.
Okay, well, shall we try 90 seconds and see how that works? Is any objection to going
sure.
to 90 seconds?
Okay.
No. So, Margie, if you could include that in your timing.
Sure. So you just have to tell me when we're starting on an agenda
sure.
item.
So I will. Okay. So the first item is election of chair pro tem and secretary pro tem. That's a 10-minute item. And we'll start with chair pro tem. And what that means is just for tonight and for the beginning of next meeting until hopefully, I mean, assuming the election of the chair happens at the next meeting, then as soon as that election is confirmed, then that new person will take the position. So it's a short-term position. So nominations are open for chair pro tem.
This is Margie.
Yes.
I nominate you, Bob.
Thank you. I accept. Any other nominations? Going once. Going twice. Okay.
So Bob, this is Richard. This is Richard. I move that you be elected chair pro tem by acclamation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any objection?
Second.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. All right. That was quick. Next, we have secretary pro tem. I'd like to nominate Michael Novick. He's done an excellent job in the past year. Any other nominations? Going once, going twice. Okay, Michael, do you accept?
Yeah, I'm willing to do it.
Thank you. Okay. All right, do we accept Michael by acclamation? Any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, then Michael is our secretary pro tem. All right, so good. We didn't need 10 minutes. Item 2 is scheduling of election of chair, permanent chair, and secretary for the next meeting. We agreed 5 minutes on that. So this is just a procedural item. So I believe the and again, someone can correct me if I'm misremembering the past protocol, but I believe we take nominations on this call, and then we ask the secretary to send out email ballots and arrange for, a live witnessing at the national office, and then the results would be announced by next month's meeting. Does someone have a different recollection or a different suggestion for a procedure?
Yeah, this is Hank. I have a different suggestion.
Okay, go ahead.
Since nobody's rushing to nominations, I move that we go ahead and make you folks the permanent. Barring.
Well, thanks. We can get to that in a minute. Well, I guess you're saying let's see if we even need to do a procedure before we spend
exactly.
a lot of time on a procedure. All right. Well, let's ask the question then. Are there nominations tonight for – well, let's start with chair. Does someone want to nominate someone for permanent chair?
Yeah, I'll nominate you, Bob.
Okay, thanks. I accept. Any other nominations for permanent chair? Right. And for secretary, are the nominations permanent secretary?
This is Jim. I nominate Mike.
Okay. Michael, you accept?
Sure.
Okay. Any other nominations? Okay.
This is Hank.
Yes, Hank.
I move that we accept you both by acclamation.
Okay.
Second.
Is there a discussion of Hank's motion?
A point of order?
Yes.
It's a question, and that is, do the bylaws require all permanent committee or chairpersons be elected by secret ballot and written ballot? I mean, I don't know what the bylaws say. I agree with Hank's motion, but I'm just wondering whether or not the bylaws require any kind of written or secret ballot around the election of the permanent chair and secretary to a committee.
Right. Good question. I don't remember the answer. Does someone on the call know the answer?
This is Margie. I don't, but I'm happy to try and find the answer.
To the stack.
Okay, hold on. Margie, go ahead.
I just said that I'm going to see if I can find an answer right now.
Great. Thank you so much. Who is that, Mark?
No, Lawrence.
Lawrence. Oh, hi, Lawrence. Welcome. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So I know with other elections, when there's no opposition, I think it's by acclamation. There's no need for an election.
Okay.
So that's what other committees have done.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I would agree with moving on and find out differently. We'll deal with it.
Okay.
Janet Kay?
Yes, Janet.
I don't know what this... given that this is the election committee, it would be good if we really, if this committee defined or clarified these kinds of issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well...
My suggestion, Michael Lieber, to the fact.
Yes, Michael.
Why don't we leave it open and we can circulate the nominations that were made tonight to the entire list and see if there are any other nominations. And if there are, then we can have a ballot election.
Right.
And if there are no other nominations, we can just ratify it next month.
Okay. Any comment on Michael's proposal?
Sounds great.
This is Richard. I'll second his.
Okay. All right. Well, so if we use that procedure and there are other candidates, then we will have to do email balloting and counting them at some location. So then I guess we do have to decide in advance, if we need it, which we may not, where that physical count should happen. So does anyone have a different idea than what's been done in most cases, which is at the Pacifica National Office, it was open to observers, any observers?
Well, if there's is Mark on the phone?
Yes, Mark. Go ahead.
Article 8 is what covers the committees, and there's nothing that indicates any manner of how to vote for a chairman.
That's what I've just determined as well.
So if there's no competition, that is, there's only a single nomination, there's no need to go any further than just doing by acclamation. Because if somebody wants to run against you, then it would have to go to a ballot, and then you'd have to involve the national office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Mark, I'm not clear what's your proposal for how to move forward.
If there's no intent to run anybody in opposition to you or Michael, there's no need to go to any further action.
Okay.
This is Margie.
Go ahead.
I think we should follow the suggestion that Michael made, that we notify the committee that these are the only nominations, and that if someone who is not present at this meeting wants to nominate someone else, then we will go through an election. Otherwise, we will vote by acclamation at the next meeting.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
No, that's clear enough, but it still comes back to the question of if there is another candidate, then where should the ballots be counted? So
no.
Let me...
It would have to be at the national office.
Yeah.
Let me make sure that the committee agrees with that. Is there any objection to the national office as a site? And then I guess we would ask Michael as the secretary to contact the national office to make the arrangements if
right.
it's needed.
Right. Exactly.
Any objection to that? Okay, so then I think we're done with this item.
Just wanted to bring up one point here.
Okay. Mark?
If there is nobody, then we have a new chair at the next meeting. If there is another candidate, then we have a next chair in the second meeting after this.
I have a different recollection. The way I recall is that the votes are counted before next month's meeting, mm-hmm. and then the result is announced at the top of the agenda of next month's meeting, and that person immediately, the chair pro tem will open the meeting, but then the first item of, once the agenda is set, the first item of business will be to seat the new chair, and then, it'll be handed off to that person.
We're at the just about at the end of our 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I think we're done.
Okay.
So, all right. Good. So we have a procedure, and Michael, you'll follow up, right?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. You'll send out that email announcing that nominations are open,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay. So moving on, the next item is the approval of the January 13th committee meeting minutes. We're putting 5 minutes on that. I did resend that again tonight. I sent it last month. I would move to accept those minutes. Is there any question or objection or amendments? I realize that a lot of people are new, so obviously this is really just a question to the continuing members of the committee.
I have a question, Maria Elena.
Yes.
And that is, do you have the minutes posted or attached someplace at the end of your email today?
I sent a second email a few minutes later with the January 13th committee meeting minutes.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I remembered there was a series of them. Thank you. And it says in the subject line exactly what?
One second and I will tell you.
Draft minutes for meeting of 1/13/2014.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay. Once again, are there any questions or objections to adopting these minutes? And I think under Robert's rules, it's only the people who were present at the meeting who can vote on it. Okay. So hearing none, then these minutes
enter an access code, then press pound. To cancel, press star.
I think somebody has called another number or something. I don't know. Well, in any case, hearing no objection, then those minutes are adopted. So now the next item is status of National Election Supervisor job posting and possible next steps. We have 15 minutes for that. So let me ask, since Margie is the PNB chair and was briefly the interim ED, do you happen to know whether there have been okay, let me take a step back. The committee drafted the job posting last year. We sent it to Summer last year. We resent it to Summer, I think in January of this year, and asked her to post it, and asked the PNB to, when it wasn't done for a while, we asked the PNB to direct that it be posted, which they did, and it was ultimately posted. I believe it was in February. So my question to Margie is, do you know whether any responses were received?
So here's what I know. It's kind of limited, but I do know that I asked Tamika Miller in the national office if any responses had been received, and she said a few. That was sort of the last conversation we had about that. Subsequently, she and I have had a conversation over a confusion where she believed she had been informed that I had signed a contract with Election Services Corporation to do the elections this year. I had not done that. I had no contact with Election Services Corporation. We got that straightened out today. She had gotten an email from we didn't pay Election Services Corporation, and they sent a bill to a collection agency. She got an email from the collection agency, which talked about the fact that we apparently were going ahead with elections this year. I believe that what happened was that the man at the collection agency. Am I telling you all too much, more than you want to know?
No.
Okay. Okay, I'll continue. The man at the collection agency looked at the Pacifica webpage, saw that we were listing a position for an election services supervisor, and assumed that that meant that we were going to go ahead and have the elections, and that we had planned to have elections. So he told Tamika that he thought we were having elections, and that it was all very confusing. In the end, while I'm absolutely convinced that we have an obligation under the bylaws to have elections, clearly the board has taken no action on this. We've never gotten to it on an agenda. So the situation as it stands now is that I believe there have been some applications for the National Election Supervisor. The interim executive director, Bernard Duncan, is looking into this and is trying to figure out what to do next and where to go with this situation. So that's where things stand at this point. And clearly there needs to be a discussion at the level of the PMB. My concern is that we have to make some decisions pretty quick, and that's why I wanted us to talk about the issue of an election timetable so that we could see if it's possible to have elections this year, given our late start, that basically comport with the bylaws. And so the short answer to the question is, yes, I believe there have been some applications. I don't know what those are, but I know that Bernard Duncan is looking into that.
Okay. Thanks, Margie.
Maria Elena, may I be on the stack?
Yeah. One second. Let me just inform people what the bylaws says on this subject, and then we can, figure out what to do about how we're running late. They say that the NES should be, I'm looking for the exact section. Let's see.
March 31st, right?
Yeah, in March of each year, there will be an election. The ED shall appoint a National Election Supervisor. And then the nomination, and then from there, that person will hire the five local election supervisors. I don't think any date is specified for that, but that the nominations are supposed to open June 1st, which, obviously is not going to happen. So, okay. Go ahead, Maria Elena.
First of all, with regard to being behind, keep in mind that the last election we had was not last year, which should have been held, but the year before that. And at that time, we did not really get the elections off the ground until, what was it, September. I think it was the middle of September. And the election itself was not held until, and tell me if I'm correct or not, I think the balloting took place in November sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And then the they were counted on or about December the 6th. I just simply wanted to mention two things. Number one, the fact that even though there was a late start in that year before last, 2012, it got done. And the second thing I wanted to mention is that I don't know what happened with the Elections Committee last year and all that stuff. I wasn't on it. But all I can say is this. Elections are the underpinning of the democratic notion of governance of Pacifica, and I don't care what we have to do come hell or high water. If there's a will, there's a way. And at the same time, I noticed this because I was elected to the LSB for the very first time year before last, and I'm telling you, we had an opportunity, the candidates, to go on the air and really focus on what needed to be done to increase our membership, to increase the quality of our programming across the board, and to involve new people from our communities in KPFT. If this would, and in this would be a golden opportunity, really, for all the stations to increase membership if it's really done right, if it's done in a way where the candidates individually and collectively really put out, you know, what they're proposing in order to draw in underserved communities into Pacifica.
Janet Kay.
Okay. Janet.
Yeah. So the question I have is, how is the national election supervisor and the local election supervisors going to be paid for? What is budgeted? How much is available to pay them?
This is Margie.
Margie.
Could I try and respond to that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So in the budgeting process, every station is supposed to budget for elections. Each station is supposed to pay for the costs of the elections from that station, plus a share of the national election supervisor based on membership. So they, you know, they look at how many members KPFT has, and their share of the national election supervisor's salary is a proportional based on their membership. People understand that. So basically, the two California stations and WBAI pay about 75% of the election supervisor's salary, and the other 25 is divided between WPFW and KPFT, more or less. Don't hold me to that. That's not a totally accurate thing, but that's how it works. As I understand it, all of the in order to have approved budgets, all of the stations have put in their budgets costs, national election costs. The problem is that, you know, budgets being budgets, there are stations, for example, that are the two East Coast stations, for example, at this point, are not able, aren't raising enough money, and I think this may also be true of Texas, are not raising enough money to pay their central services. So clearly, elections are going to be a low priority for them. I think that the two West Coast stations are in a position to pay their share, both of their costs for elections, their costs for elections, or and their share of the national election supervisor. But it's a good question, Janet, because what happened last time we had elections, which was 2012. PFW and WBAI were not able to pay their share of election costs, and so the national office paid it, which means, you know, other stations paid it, and so that's a real problem. So that's what I have to say about that. It's a problem.
Okay. Anyone else? I'm sorry. Who was the I heard a. I think it was a female voice.
I heard two voices. This is Kim. I just got on the call a little minutes ago.
Okay. Hi, Kim. Did you want to speak on this topic?
Yeah. I just want to say that KPFK, while budgets are, you know, budgets, we're definitely underperforming, and we. Even though it's in the budget, that other areas of our budget to expense ratios have been way overspent, and our revenue is significantly lower than the budget. So I don't know where we're going to have another $50,000 for these, quite frankly.
Okay. All right. Who else would like to speak? That was Michael?
And Maria Elena on the stack.
Michael first, and then Maria
Michael,
Elena.
Bob, I just want to say we have about 3 minutes left in this
okay.
Time.
Well, when let us know when it's up, and we'll see if we want to extend. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, briefly, I think the PNB did decide to hold the elections by electronic balloting primarily with the opt-out provision that people could get paper ballots with the idea that that would be a cost reduction. And we did establish a cost-cutting subcommittee here on the elections committee, although we haven't met in quite some time, with the idea that we would try to reduce the costs by various methods. And then McKim is saying we haven't gotten financials for our station for several months now, since January, basically. And so the picture is pretty unclear as to where we stand financially. But the National Finance Committee last year did insist that all five stations and the national office include funding for the elections in the current fiscal year, even though they had theoretically included in the previous one because most of the money was spent on other purposes. So the stations at least on paper budget money for the elections to be held that were postponed by the PNB last year in the fiscal year that ends November 30th.
This is Kim.
Okay, Maria Elena, and then Kim, and then myself.
Just briefly, I want to mention two things regarding where we can get the money. Well, first of all, we need to get some clarity, at least at KPFT, as to what's happening with our funds that we're not being apprised of by our management. We just discovered, those of us on the LSB, that the general manager, out of the blue, hired a new full-time employee just within the past couple weeks. And we don't know where that money came from for a full-time employee. I'm getting some mysterious static on the line. In any event, there's money. If necessary, then reduce or replace a part-time employee in the place of a full-time employee, or just have to let go a full-time employee. But what we have to do is, we've got to find the resources. We cannot pretend that this is low man on the totem pole when it comes to having these elections. And the last thing I wanted to say was about where do we find the money. That was my first suggestion, and that is to seriously look at across the board, asking the LSBs to look at and work with management in paring down the staff, the paid staff, in order to find the money necessary to pay for that local election supervisor and to pay into the national.
Okay. Kim?
It might be difficult for Michael to, just because we haven't had financials since January. I've been doing this for 5 years. Our revenue is down. We had personnel cuts in the budget. Those haven't been made. The former GM, the now IED, went $100,000 over budget on our premiums by January. So, Lord Grimm, and this fund drive is significantly underperforming. So we don't have exact numbers, but I can tell you we are significantly in bad shape. We started off the year with a negative cash position, and we've been underperforming since then. So it's very grim at KPFK. And I'm unaware that the PNB passed something to say that they wanted to do electronic voting. I'm not sure that they did. So we need to check on that.
Looking at your motion.
Pardon me? And Maria Elena, what station are you from? Maria Elena.
KPFT in Houston.
Oh, okay. Your fund drive has underperformed quite significantly as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not only that, but we have a broken transmitter or, you know, and we, if we don't come up with some real answers, we're even on the verge of losing our FCC license for broadcasting at 100,000 watts.
Right.
Okay, so...
Bob, this is Margie.
I was just about to say that. We're out of time. So, however, we've kind of jumped into the next item anyway, which is election timeline for 10 minutes. So why don't we just continue the discussion for 10 minutes? We don't necessarily have to resolve it tonight, but just see what direction. I mean, one thing just to mention is that I found the timeline from 2012 that the then National Election Supervisor sent to the committee in September of that year, just saying because there had been some postponements because of extra time needed to get enough candidates and so forth. So I just sent that to the committee. So you have that as a point of reference for what happened last time. He was hired.
Janet Kay?
No. Hang on. He was hired in mid-June, and then the election was concluded on some stations in late December and other stations in early January. Okay, so...
Janet Kay?
Yeah. Janet and anyone else for the deck?
Yeah, Richard.
Okay, so Janet, and then, well, actually, Janet's spoken, so Richard, go ahead.
Well, can I just...
I just wanted to move.
I was the one who suggested this be on the
agenda. We generally allow people who haven't spoken on this item to speak before someone has a second chance.
I haven't spoken on the item.
Oh,
I
you haven't?
I spoke on adding it to the agenda.
Okay, my mistake. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay, well, just that, yes. Aside from hiring a national election supervisor and local election supervisors and whatever arrangements would be made for sending out ballots and collecting ballots and tallying ballots and all that, there is, and this hopefully, I assume this would be part of what you just sent out, Bob, from 2012, but there are deadlines for people to become candidates and what are the requirements and what are the requirements for people who would be voting for candidates. All that kind of information needs to be put together and provided to at all the stations soon. In any case, so that's hopefully that is part of what you sent out about.
Yeah, I think all of that is in there. Okay, Richard.
No, it's probably too late. I was going to make a motion that we extend for 10 minutes to further that other issue.
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
Yeah.
So, all right, who else wants to speak? Well, what suggestions do people have to move forward on this? It seems like we need some financial data, and I know that may take a bit of time, but does anyone have a suggestion how we can obtain that?
Janet, can I just add something else? There is something different about this year because some people were rolled over for 1 year, or a lot of people were rolled over for 1 year, and then they would be running for just a 2-year term or things like that have to be clarified and ironed out as well.
This is Margie.
Yes, Margie.
The question of candidate eligibility is the responsibility of the individual local station board supervisors. So each local station board and the election supervisor would need to figure out what people's eligibility is. All we have to do at the national level, at the level of this committee, is suggest a timeline like we did last year. So anyway, I take it that Janet's points are important, but they're not the purview of this committee. That's stuff that has to be worked out at each station based on how people got on the LSB. Did they replace someone who resigned or, and so on.
Richard to the stack.
Okay. Hank to the stack.
Maria Elena on the stack.
Okay, so Richard, Hank, and Maria Elena. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, this is going to be a Texas run, I guess. when we, and I'm assuming we're going to do some kind of timeline, when we do that timeline, we need to stay as close, even though we're getting started late, we need to stay as close to the usual time that's in the bylaws. Because that last one ran so late, and I think a lot of the expense was for the personnel involved. But we ran so late that election cost us almost $250,000. We did indeed pass a motion that our main means of doing the election would be electronic, with the option to get a ballot if you wanted it, a paper ballot if you wanted it. But and we were kind of hoping maybe that would get us down to around 100,000 or something like that, even less maybe. But if we go long, it gets real expensive.
Okay, Hank.
Well, I've got a couple of quick questions. One for Maria Elena. Who was the permanent person hired?
Her name was Io. I-Y-O, and I can't remember her last name at the moment, but she was the local election supervisor.
She was the LES last year. She did an awful job.
All right.
Teresa,
well,
for the stack.
Can I just say we should not get into any comments about individual personnel.
Okay.
Teresa for the stack.
I'm still on the stack.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I got you, Teresa. But Hank, are you finished?
Yeah. No. I wanted to say that I agree with Richard. We need to stay as close to the original proper timeline as we can. And towards the end of last year, weren't people suggesting a timeline? And if so, can't we just alter that to the current time? Because they were trying to work it out within the bylaws. And, of course, naturally, it was on the normal timeline. But we can adjust and just move the dates, move all the dates by X number of days and have our timeline.
Right, yeah. Just to answer your factual question, last year my recollection is that we did propose a timeline that was maybe a month or two later than the bylaws, but ultimately, of course, there was no election at all, so it became moot. So, I think the model that comes closest to where we're at now is the 2012 actual election, because
mm-hmm.
that started with hiring an NES in June.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next is Maria Elena.
I wanted to address two items. Number one, about whether or not or how we should deal with this timeline. First of all, it's not necessarily the rigid and straight and narrow that wins the race. We've got to be flexible. We've got to be nimble in accordance with the conditions. Now, if one factor might be considered, yes, it's very important that we hire the national and the local supervisors, or for that matter, get part-time local supervisors, or maybe even volunteer local supervisors from, say, a retired political or economics professors from the local universities. And those, many of our cities, we've got big universities. That's one thing to consider, and that is to see if we can get part-time or even volunteer local supervisors. The national one definitely has to be full-time and has to be paid. Now, second point with regard to getting the money and getting this thing rolling, keep in mind, if we can get that national supervisor and the local supervisors in place and get the candidates rolling with their campaigns, the sooner the better, because the process of campaigning will in and of itself lead to, if it's done right, if we open up the airwaves to the importance of their campaigns, to not only raise funds for Pacifica, but also involve change the listening community as members and involve them in the redirection and the redevelopment of Pacifica in conjunction with its mission. Those are money raisers right in and of themselves. And anyway, I just simply wanted to put that out that, the raising of funds goes hand in hand, and the increasing of our paying membership goes hand in hand with how we conduct this election And that's why I wanted to put out that we should not be frozen to a timeline, but definitely we want to get the candidate, certified and through that process, because their campaign is going to make the difference in whether, I think, Pacifica lives or dies.
Okay. I'm sorry, who was next on the stack?
Teresa.
Teresa, yes.
Okay,
go
Bob,
ahead.
I'm sorry, this is about time. I think we added 10 minutes.
Well, no, we just went right into the next item, which was a 10-minute item.
Okay, so...
So how far are we?
We're at the end of that 10 minutes.
Oh,
so
okay.
I would suggest we extend time.
Okay, do you want to propose an amount?
Let's see. I think another 10 minutes. I think this
okay.
is an important discussion.
Okay, any objection?
Second.
Any objection to adding 10 minutes to timeline? Okay, without objection, that's what we'll do. So Teresa is next.
Hi. I do want to caution Maria Elena about some of her statements. You say you want to open up the airwaves and you feel it's important for the development of Pacifica that we talk about these things on air. However, if we make erroneous statements like KPFT is going to go off the air or lose its license because of this transmitter situation, which is totally wrong, and the statement about having hired a full-time employee, I got off the phone, I called the general manager, we have an engineer, he's gone to a full-time position, but the net result of the money is like the same. People don't want to give when they feel that an organization is incompetent.
I have a point of order. I'm talking.
There's already a motion.
There's already a motion that you be censured and reprimanded
for statements like
that. Okay, hang on,
like
hang on. Everyone, hold on.
Point of order.
Hold on. What is your point of order concerning? Because normally you can't interrupt.
My point of order is whether or not we are addressing what is before us in terms of the timeline of the election, or are we allowed to be making all sorts of weird, ambiguous statements against other members of the election committee? That's my question.
Okay, so I would say to Teresa and to every member of the committee, let's try to stay on the topic of the timeline and, you know, what we should do as our next steps.
All right. Well, then my two points are this.
Point of order.
Hold on, Teresa. I'm sorry. What's your point of order, Serene?
Well, you know, we heard about the spending when we were talking about elections, and I understand that that's all money-related, and that's the common thread there. But the member, I think, is merely trying to rebut something in this section that she didn't have time to rebut in the other section. And I think most of what I heard when we were talking about the cost of the elections was necessary on any front. But in fairness, I think she should be given her opportunity to speak. And Teresa and I never agree on anything.
Well, we have a GM that's been there for 13 years. And I think that one of our biggest problems, when we talk about a timeline and we talk about money, we're owed over $150,000 in CPB money. That is something that National can help us with, because I think if we have that, it would make it a lot easier. And number two, we need to watch what we say, because people don't want to give if it looks like you're incompetent. And the other thing is this. I think that if when it comes to timeline and money, which I think are linked very closely, the issue is how can we motivate our election supervisors to expedite the election? Because the way it was in some of our past years, most of our past years, the longer the elections went on, the more they were paid. And we have to say, you know, you are going to be rewarded for getting to, you know, helping people get to quorum. We had a general manager at KPFK who didn't know the number of staff people. If we can motivate
I'm going to make a point of order on that. Point of order.
Yes. Go ahead.
People can make their points without criticizing staff in the manner that it's doing. But, yeah, I mean, it's you make a comment, somebody else is going to want to counter it. Just make your point without getting personal, as we shouldn't have been discussing the name of someone hired in Houston.
Point of order. This is,
then what we need to do, what we need to do is somehow motivate our employees to end to do such a good job that the that the timeline is met and that we don't have to pay them more.
Okay.
On that information.
Yeah, is that Lawrence?
This is Kim.
Yes.
I had a point of order.
Okay, Kim, your point of order.
Oh, and this is Janet. I'm going to have to leave the call. Sorry.
Okay, thanks for telling
us,
Janet.
Thank
you, bye. Kim, your point of order.
The information that KPFK's general manager did not have a complete staff list is public information.